It's 8:12 on the ticket, Monday morning, March 9th. We've got Donnie in for George the next couple of days. I was out last Thursday and Friday. I took a ski trip. And I'm not a very good skier. I would say I'm as intermediate gets, but I love to go skiing because it puts me in the mountains. So once a year, I try to take a ski trip, and I like to go to places that I've never been before. And so this last weekend, I went to Sun Valley, Idaho, and it's in the middle of nowhere. You can fly directly into Haley, which is just south of Sun Valley, but most people fly into Boise because you get more direct flights into Boise. I'd never been to Boise, so took a direct flight there. Going, I observed the airports, both DFW and Boise, and I only saw three masks, and they were all in Boise. Nobody in Dallas at DFW, nobody on my flight had any masks on fighting COVID-19. Although I did see a lot of people that once they took their seats, they pulled out a bunch of handy wipes or hand sand and they wiped down the entire area.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, though, not a lot of paranoia. However, I did have a little paranoia in the airport yesterday at Boise. I'm in line buying a magazine and bottle of water. And there's a mom and a little kid. He's probably 5 or 6 in line ahead of me. And he's doing this every 5 seconds. And he's not covering his mouth or anything. And then his mom takes the bag of peanuts that they were buying. Says, here, hand it to the nice man. So the kid hands it to the cashier. The cashier takes it. The cashier rings it up. And then as soon as they leave, the cashier turns and puts some hand sand on and looks at me like, God, you see that kid? And the kid was just coughing. And the mom wasn't saying, you know, cover your mouth or here, we're not going to touch anything that we're giving to this guy.
Right.
Because the kid clearly had COVID-19.
I'll just punch him in the throat.
That. Don't punch the kid in the throat. No, both of those.
Well, you shouldn't cough like that.
No, you shouldn't.
That's the
and
only
she needs
punishment.
To be correcting the kid. But this is a problem that we all have. Everyone, if you start observing people, which I'm sure we will now that COVID-19 is out there, you start realizing how gross everyone is.
Yes,
that is
including
the truth.
Yourself.
Yes. I was at church yesterday, and the amount of people sniffing, coughing. I saw one guy wiping his nose with a tissue with his left hand. He took the tissue with his right hand and kind of folded it up, put it back in his left hand to wipe
his own
nose
snot.
Again. Yes.
Yeah.
So now it's...
What was the point of the tissue then?
I don't know. And yes, it is noticeable, way, way more noticeable now.
Have you seen a lot of churches are even saying we're not going to hold hands during the Our Father or we're not going to shake hands, you know, peace be with you and all of that?
We did do that yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
See?
Uh-oh.
Well, I was hypersensitive to it just from an observational standpoint, looking around at everybody who was coughing or sniffling or wiping their nose or people who were on the opposite side and disinfecting everything that could possibly disinfect. But for the most part, I wasn't seated next to anybody that was coughing or hacking, so I feel like I got through fairly unscathed. We'll see here in 14 days, but I did have one funny moment at the airport yesterday. The only person that I could tell that was impacted by the time change, there was this 20-year-old kid in line, and he was behind me, and he said, hey, man, do you mind if I cut ahead of you? We're checking in at the ticket counter. He said, my flight leaves in 15 minutes. I thought I had an hour 15, but the whole time change thing threw me for a loop.
Dang.
So he got up. I let him cut ahead of me, and he got up there, and they said, sorry, it's too late. You can't check in. And so he was ticked off. He had to spend another day in Boise. Anyway, great spot. Boise's a really cool town. A college town, obviously, with Boise State there. River running through downtown. A lot of cool parts of downtown. Surrounded by mountains. Had a really good vibe to it.
It's a cool place to be to women, or is it just Boise to men is a cool...
How's your back after that back bend?
Place to play Twister.
Is that your first time in Idaho?
No,
Did I say that funny? I felt like I said that funny.
That was a little weird.
Every time in Idaho.
No, I had been to Coeur d'Alene, which is in the far northern part of Idaho, many, many years ago.
I feel that's a state I will never set one toe in.
You know, the place I went, Sun Valley, is beautiful, and you should probably go there, especially if you like to ski. But other than that, you're probably okay not setting a foot in Iowa.
That in Montana, I feel, are the two states I will never come close to going to.
Why?
And I feel that they may be beautiful. I don't know.
They are.
The destination. I don't have a destination to go to in Montana or Idaho.
Well, you're going to take a ski trip this winter, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You may fall in love with the sport. I don't know. It's a hard sport to learn, but once you do, you know, a half day lesson, a full lesson, and it's so much fun. I love it for a number of reasons. As I've said before on the show, I like going to the mountains because it makes me feel small. I think we all need to be put in our place from time to time. And when you live in a city, you tend to feel big because you're king of your car, you're king of your cubicle or your desk. You feel big when you go places because we're not made to feel small. But when you're standing at the base of a mountain looking up or on top of a mountain, and I posted a picture of me at the top of one of the mountains in Sun Valley on my Instagram page. I'm at June's Miller, I believe. And the views you have are so spectacular, and you get this great feeling for God's creation and the majesty of the world and the beauty of the world and just how small you are and how insignificant you are in this world compared to Mother Nature. I like being put in my place, and I think we all kind of need that.
Okay.
Plus, I like the feeling of just going down a huge mountain on skis. You're skiing through nature, and you're going at a high rate of speed, and you're seeing these incredible views at every turn, and the snow is beautiful, and just the whole thing about it. Plus, afterwards, when you're sitting by a fire drinking a beer and it's snowing outside, it's a great scene. I love the whole ski vibe. And as I mentioned, I'm not a great skier, but I've always preferred skiing. I've never tried snowboarding. Snowboarding looks like the biggest beatdown to me, and skiing can be a little dangerous. But snowboarding has always looked like a beatdown to me because every time I see a snowboarder on the mountain, they're sitting down. You can't stand on your board. Getting on and off the lifts is really difficult. They have to get off the lift and sit there for 5 minutes while they buckle in, where when you're on skis, you just go. You can stop anywhere on the mountain and take in the view and just stand there when you're on skis. But when you're on a board, you got to fall over and then look at everything. And snowboarding's popularity is in pretty big decline. I think it was a really big thing 10 years ago, and now I think more and more people are realizing skiing down a mountain is way more practical. It's, generally speaking, a lot more fun. It's a lot easier. And so I think even the millennials who got into boarding, like a lot of the kids that I know, they've gone back to skiing. They said, yeah, you know, boarding was great for a little while, but skiing is the way to go. I'm as intermediate gets. If you saw me skiing on a beginner slope, you would think I'm an expert. If you saw me on an intermediate slope, you would think I'm an intermediate. And if you saw me on an expert slope, you'd think I was a beginner. I can get down an expert slope, but it takes me a while.
Okay.
It's not a pretty sight.
Do people get upset if you're on the expert slope and you're not an expert? Are you endangering the lives of other people?
Not really, unless you get out of control. You're really only a danger to yourself because the expert skiers can maneuver their way around you pretty easily. And they can tell, okay, this guy's heading off in this direction. He's not going to be able to arrest his slide or to make a turn, so I'll just go this way. There is an element of danger when you're skiing, and they do have a lot of incidents. And we actually saw two people collide. We were down at the base of the mountain, and we saw two people coming together. They didn't see each other, but you could tell that they were going to hit each other, and they hit hard.
Oh, no.
The guy popped up. The girl took about 10 minutes first aid. She got up, and she had her arm in a sling.
Mm. See, that I've always been scared to ski because we had friends when I was a little kid. We had friends that had gone skiing, and the woman had broken her leg so badly it ended up 2 inches shorter than the other leg. I know, it was crazy. And so that always scared me away from skiing. And we've had famous ski accidents in which people are killed. Sonny Bono was killed in a skiing accident.
One of the Kennedys, wasn't he? Or was he just injured?
No, there was a Kennedy, I think, that was killed
skiing. I think there was a Kennedy death, yeah.
There was, you know, we had friends of ours up here that worked at the Ticket, one of their daughters was killed, I believe,
skiing.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
And it's a dangerous sport. It's like, it's oddly dangerous to me because it seems like it was so beautiful and it's, you know, it should be such a leisurely activity, but there's trees and people and rocks that you can hit.
I think most of the danger is beginners who find their way on slopes they shouldn't be on, or beginners who don't know how to control their speed. And that can be really dangerous because it's whoever's uphill, up the mountain, it's your responsibility to avoid the people below you because they can't see you coming.
Right.
But a lot of the times you'll get a beginner up there or someone who thinks they're better than they are, and they will go a lot faster downhill, but they can't really control their turns, or they can't control their speed. They end up running into people, and that's where you get a lot of the injuries. Or they can't control themselves and they head off towards a tree or something like that. It can be very dangerous. Generally speaking, there aren't many collisions, there aren't many wipeouts, and if you take a lesson, know what you're doing, like you're going for the first time, right, in December?
Yes, first time.
Highly recommend a lesson.
Oh, I would not attempt to do anything without a lesson, and I would not get past any type of bunny slope. I'm not going to feel myself and go, oh, I took a lesson, then I can go even intermediate. I know that's not me, and I would gladly push over an 8-year-old going down the bunny slope than try to do something else.
Just going pizza, french fries all the way down.
Yep.
That's what they're going to teach you.
Donnie, I told you the story of when I took a lesson my first day skiing, and I was 20 or 21, so I learned late. You should always learn. I think you should learn everything when you're 3 or 5 or 7. Learn how to swim early. Learn how to ski early. You teach a kid how to ski at age 3 or 5. They're so low to the ground, they don't care about falling. They don't really think about that. They just kind of go, and you see those kids in those long lines without poles, and they're a lot of times they're holding on to each other, or they're snaking their way down a green slope. Well, when I was taking a lesson when I was 20 years old, They took us up on the mountain. They taught us on the bunny slope for 3 hours. Then they took us up on a beginner slope. And I was terrible. I was easily the worst skier in my class of 20, let's say. And so I got going straight downhill, and I couldn't control my speed. And I was headed right towards a line of 3-year-olds that were all holding on to each other's coattail as they were snaking their way down this mountain. And I think I yelled, and at the last second, one of the kids looked up the mountain and saw me and let go of the coat in front of him, which formed a little opening that I zoomed through. And the kid was looking up at me. I remember looking down at him.
You could have killed
them. I could have. Yeah, it would have been bad.
Like, thank you.
I thought of two other ones. Natasha Richardson, who was Liam Neeson's wife, and she was an actress, too.
Yep.
Killed in a skiing accident.
Yep.
And I want to say, isn't Michael Schumacher still, like, the F1 guy, and he's still
messed up because
of the ski accident, like he's barely alive.
Yes.
Did it happen recently?
No, it happened like 6 years ago something. Yeah. And he had a skiing accident, and he is still bedridden.
Yeah, it can be dangerous.
Or something like that. I know he's. That's what I'm telling you. There is a 50% chance of death, Donnie, if you go through with this.
Oh,
don't do it.
I'm gonna.
You're better off being on the quarantine.
No, do it, Donnie. You'll love
Corona Princess cruise ship.
I will go on the trip just to say I went on a skiing trip.
There you
just go.
Go
to the
now
resort.
You're thinking. Yeah, I went on a ski trip and then just omit the fact that you didn't go skiing.
I've always wanted to just sit by a fireplace drinking some spiked hot chocolate, and I've always wanted to be in a hot tub when it's snowing outside.
Looking at the mountains.
That feels like the coolest thing, but other than that, I don't have to ski.
There you go.
I may get a little courage and take a lesson, and then I'll say, okay, I was on skis.
Yeah,
I'm
you skied.
Good.
Yeah.
And I will
hey,
take
skiing
that.
Skiing was great.
Right, right. Yeah.
Couldn't we break down just about any activity and list all of the deaths? And
you can't.
Then declare it very dangerous?
Nope.
I do understand there's probably more of an element of danger with skiing than walking, but you could probably make that case for just about anything.
Talk to Sonny Bono's son, Chastity.
That's right.
He misses
his son, yeah.
He misses his dad.
I did sustain an injury.
Uh-oh.
So when I went to get my rentals, my boots and my skis, they gave me a boot and it was too big. I said, I need a size smaller. So they gave me the size smaller and it was pretty tight on my right foot. I think my right foot's a little bigger. I was like, well, this is a little uncomfortable. My toes are jamming up again. He goes, don't worry. When you lean forward, which is, by the way, how you ski, you lean forward your shins against the boots. It's very counterintuitive because when you start going down the hill, you want to lean back, but you actually control yourself and go slower when you lean forward. Just remember that, Donnie, when you go skiing.
Yeah, I will write that down. Okay, thank you.
Well, when you lean forward with your shins, it pulls your toes back, and he said, you'll be fine. I said, okay. So I put the boots on the next day. I ski all day, and it was a little uncomfortable, but it was okay. But I did notice my toes jamming up against the front of the boot. Well, at the end of the day, when I take off the boot and I take off my sock, my big toenail, all blood underneath.
Oh, no.
Gross.
Yeah.
I got
Yes.
What's now going to be, it's called runner's toe, I think. And I used to run and I never got bloody toenail, but now one day in ill-fitting boots.
Yes.
And you know, Gordo, I've always claimed I could be a foot model.
Yeah.
My days of being a foot model are now officially over.
Really?
Because this toenail's going to fall off.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
And I'm going to grow a new one, but it's probably going to be gnarly.
Yeah, it's going to be a mutant toenail.
Junior Miller's toenail joining us.
Junior, I will eat you.
So I don't know how long, I've never had this, so I don't know when it's going to fall off, but I think it's going to be like one day putting on my sock and it's just going to come off.
Will you show it to me?
Yeah, you'll feel like a leopard.
I do want to see it, yes.
Check this out.
I oddly want to see.
Maybe I'll tweet a picture of this.
You gonna twiz that? Let's see it.
Oh my goodness.
Look at that. It's all blood under the nail.
Oh yeah.
Look at that.
That is really dark.
Gross?
Oh man. Why are you laughing?
Oh, jeez.
Gordon, are you okay?
Sorry.
Other than that,
a range of emotions.
Other than that, I didn't wipe out. Sun Valley is It's a legendary mountain. It was the first ski mountain in the world, first ski resort. They had the first chairlift, 1936, Sun Valley, first chairlift, first ski resort. Really historic. And Gordon, you know, Sun Valley is in Ketchum, Idaho.
Indeed. Did you go visit?
I just tweeted a picture of Ernest Hemingway's grave, and
wow.
I thought about you.
Indeed.
Because you and I visited Hemingway's Key West home.
I know. I thought we had a pact that we would only visit Hemingway sites together.
So my buddy and I tried to get up to the cabin where he took a double barrel shotgun to his head.
Indeed.
You can't get up there. It's privately owned. But we did visit the grave. Pretty unremarkable. And I tweeted a picture of his flat tombstone or headstone. Or grave marker, really. I had no idea his middle name was Miller.
Yeah.
Ernest Miller Hemingway.
Ernest Miller Hemingway. That's right.
And there's a huge Hemingway flavor all around Sun Valley. There's a ski run called Hemingway Alley or something. In a lot of the bars, they have lots of Hemingway photos, the bars that he would go and drink when he lived in Ketchum.
He Hemingway.
Die. Die like Hemingway.
But apparently when he got to Ketchum...
Want me to?
No.
Apparently when he got there, he was not doing well, physically or mentally.
No. No, he was... The last couple years of his life were very bad. You know, I bet you he had CTE. He was into boxing. And he also had been in... He had a skylight fall on his head once.
Really?
That's the big scar he had on his forehead was from when a skylight fell on him in Paris when he was a young man living there. And then he had those plane crashes. He was in a plane crash in Africa. It was when he was in his 50s, I believe. Plane crash, and then barely survived that. Plane catches on fire, gets out of that. And the plane that picked him up from that plane crash then also crashed. He had two plane crashes right in a row. Yeah, I think that the guy had horrible head injuries, and he was so depressed at the end of his life. When they tried to take him to the Mayo Clinic one time to be treated with electroshock therapy, he wanted to die so badly, and they had like hidden his guns from him at that time, I think. He tried to walk into the plane's propeller, and they stopped him before he did that.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then eventually, of course, there at that place in Ketchum that you visited, he had gotten hold of his shotgun. And yeah. and did that. I think he was only about 61 years of age, too. He was pretty young.
Housekeeper found him, or his wife, or his house?
It may have been his wife. I can't remember whether Mary was with him. Yeah, he did it in the foyer in there. It's so creepy.
So I took the Ernest Hemingway Trail of Tears, and I thought about you the whole time.
Indeed.
Also visited, I'll also post a picture of this, visited the world's first ski lift. One little chair, you know, they didn't have like a big bench, but it was, it almost looked like it could still run today. A lot of history there in Sun Valley. It's hard to get to, 2 hours, 2.5 hours from Boise in the middle of nowhere. Montana to your east and Washington and Oregon to your left and Canada up north. It's way out there, but it's worth going. If you ski, you would love that mountain. And if you like history, it's a real historic old, you know, mountain mining town. Very cool town, very cool town center. A lot of fun. Good to be back. I did see snow. It snowed on us on Saturday, so I haven't seen any yet here in North Texas, but I saw some snow up there. And they make a lot of snow. That's amazing how much snow the ski resorts can just make every night.
Wait, what do you mean make?
They've got snow guns on all these slopes, and they pump all this water. I think they get it from, not the local water source, but from the river that runs right at the base of the mountain there. And they fire it out of these guns in a mist, and it turns into snow, and it covers the snow runs.
I had no idea that we were producing snow.
Yeah. With climate change, the ski season has gotten shorter and shorter for these resorts. It used to be November 1st to May 1st, and now a lot of them, it's Christmas to April 1st. And so if they're getting less snow, they got to make their own. So almost all of the big resorts have those snow guns out there, and they crank it up every night.
You sure that's not fake news?
What do you mean?
That the winters are getting shorter? And that their seasons are shorter, and that they even have snow guns.
I mean,
it all sounds fake.
No, it's true. I mean, there are some resorts this year that have gotten a ton of snow, and Sun Valley last year got 11 feet in the month of February. But generally speaking, the ski season is getting a lot shorter. That's why all these resorts are doing so much in the summer now. They're all cutting mountain bike trails, and they're all hosting music festivals because they aren't making as much during ski season. So they're trying to become year-round.
Year-round resort.
Yeah. Anyway, only casualty. I didn't wipe out, but I did lose a toenail. So,
what a hard life.
Other than that, it was a great trip. All right, coming up next, we're going to get the latest on the DAC contract as we talk to the owner. And all right, we are calling a little bit of a medical audible here. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Big 12 expansion. That's a pet topic of mine. We also have some NFL topics to get into. Tomorrow, Donnie will be with us for one more day while George is out. But I want to talk about blood toenail now. So I've told this story about an hour ago on my ski trip over the weekend. First day, I had a boot that was too small on my right foot. And even though the guy in the shop told me I'd be okay once I started skiing, there was something that didn't feel quite right about it. So when I take the boot off at the end of the day, I look down and I've got what they call runner's toe or the bloody toenail. And I just tweeted a picture of it because all the P1s wanted to see it. They want to see a picture of my suffering. And so, as one guy just replied, usually people charge for these types of feet pics.
That is a fetish. Oh my God, boy, you got an up close picture of that thing. You need a pedicure, man.
Yeah, I know. I trimmed my toenails. I keep them pretty short, but I've been afraid to touch my toe now for the past few days, ever since I got blood toenail. So I used to run, and I never got runner's toe. And I knew so many people that I ran with that got runner's toe and lost the toenail. So when the toe undergoes trauma like this, from either the repeated pounding of running, or in this case, the ski boot hitting it over and over, it bleeds underneath, and most of the time, the toenail's going to fall off. But there are preventative measures. So Peter Welpton, from the ticket staff, host of the Kick Around, sent me a message. And he said, if the pressure of the blood under the nail is painful, take a very narrow drill bit and hand turn it to create a hole in the top of the nail that will relieve the pressure. You will be so glad you did it. Could you guys do that?
No.
So I think you should use it in a regular drill. You need a cordless drill to use it in.
What do you mean?
You don't hold the drill bit.
Okay.
You need to actually drill it with something that has some power.
Sounds like
torque.
I'll have less control, though.
Someone else would have to do it to me. I couldn't do it to myself.
He sent a picture, and that's, I guess, when he drilled it. See that little hole?
No, no, I can't do that. Look, that's his toenail?
He said, if you just hand turn a bit with light pressure, it will work its way through the top of the nail. Just go slow and be prepared for when it releases. I guess the blood comes pouring out or something.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe use a drill press just to make sure you do.
Use a what?
A drill press. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Precise work.
There you go.
Right. So, I don't know.
Are you thinking about this now?
I actually am because it sounds like a way to save the nail. Oh, I didn't also tell you guys the story of what the guy in the shop, in the ski boot shop, told me. I said, man, I think I'm going to lose this nail because of your poor fit. And he goes, oh, I've lost a bunch of nails. And I said, well, I said, how long does it take for him to grow back? And he said, you know, it can take about 6 months for the nail to grow back. Mm. And he said, a couple of mine grew back straight up, not long over the toe, but straight up.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's possible.
I didn't know that until that guy told me.
Does it hurt?
So now maybe a drill bit in the top of the toenail is better than potentially your toenail growing straight up to the heavens.
Do you want to hear my medical opinion on this?
Yes.
You are not going to lose that toenail.
You don't think so?
No. Just let it play itself out. Maybe stick your toe in some peroxide or something just to make yourself feel better.
Okay.
That's not going to be lost.
How do you know?
Peter Welpton's looks like his would be lost. Strangled, doing something else. That looked terrible. Yours is not as terrible as that picture was.
Okay.
This looks like you'll be okay. Just let it play out. I'm going to promise you that.
Wow, okay.
Donnie guarantee.
Yes.
For some reason, even though you don't have a medical degree, I trust you.
You should.
Why? Just because he's a nice guy?
Yeah.
I've had a fingernail that...
iffy medical advice.
I've had a fingernail that looked something like that, and I didn't lose the fingernail. It's just going to take a little bit for all the blood to go away. You'll be fine.
So I'm getting interesting reaction on Twitter. Phil says that the picture of the toe is indescribably beautiful. MD just tweets a picture of Rex Ryan smiling.
Oh, creepy.
With his foot fetish, okay.
Rocky says, wait, this isn't normal?
Oh, Rocky.
Ribby says this tweet should be illegal.
Hmm.
It looks kind of like a lava lamp.
Another guy says, report this as abusive or harmful tweet. Another, here's a P1 that says, my dad taught me how to take a tiny drill bit, twist it in between your thumb and index finger, drill a tiny hole at the base of your nail. It hurts for 2 seconds, then unbelievable relief.
There you go. You need to do this.
So, Donnie, what's the downside of me doing the drill bit? Just 2 seconds of pain, right?
Yes. I just don't know if I could do that harm to myself. And I feel that putting a hole in my toenail is harm. Does it hurt now?
Does it hurt?
No, not really. Like, if I bump it, it hurts.
Right.
But just walking on it, no.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't touch it if it doesn't hurt. If it was giving me pain and I needed that relief, like it felt like a ton of pressure, then maybe I would do that. But I feel that this one is mild.
Does it hurt?
Tim says heat up a paper clip and push it through the nail.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Here's Audio Junior doing just that.
Clemson Tiger says toes before hose. I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll let you know what I decide today. Maybe tomorrow I'll have a drill bit story for you.
I hope you come in tomorrow morning and you have a drill bit still sticking out of your toenail.
Right.
You couldn't
right.
get it out.
And you had to put a hole in your shoe to fit the over the drill bit that you put in your toenail.